A lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to us in a excuse me, in a message in tongues or an interpretation of those tongues or a word of prophecy. That's how oftentimes the Lord speaks in a service like this. There are many other gifts, okay? And I want to see, I've been praying that the Lord use us in many, if not all, of those gifts in our services. So there might be some time where the Lord puts a person in your mind and gives you the faith. It's called the gift of faith or gift of healing. And the Lord puts somebody on your mind. You need to pray for them. Okay? So, I'm grateful to the Lord. Let us just be hungry for Jesus. What do you say? I don't know that I will preach the entire message that I preached in the first service. That's not to rob you of anything, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Verse 14. Sorry, before I get there, we honored, and one of them is still with us. Matthew, could you stand for a moment? Say hi to everybody. Matthew is graduating from high school. We're proud of him. We honored him and Dell Graves this morning in the first service. And as you're leaving today, if there's any cookies left, you're welcome to take them. But I didn't know how many some of these ladies stuffed in their purses. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. So those are individually wrapped, been baked at a bakery. So you should be good to go. It's up to your discretion, though. Okay. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. This is after Jesus has been arrested, tried, crucified, after he was buried. He was raised from the dead, and then he appeared to his disciples. Excuse me. And now he has ascended up to heaven, so he's no longer on the earth, and he has told the disciples, go wait in Jerusalem until I send the promise to you from the Father. That's an interesting point. Jesus wants to send the Holy Spirit to you. Search the scriptures out. It's okay if there's question marks around these things. Check it out. Look in the New Testament. Look at these verses. And so here, Jesus is no longer with them, but here in verse 14 it says, they all met. That was those early church believers. They all met together. And we're, let's see, okay, yeah, here, I see what I did there. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to every revival. Prayer is the key to being heard by God. Chapter 2, verse 42. This is in the same chapter where on the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on those early church believers. And it says here, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the gospel. They devoted themselves to being together. They devoted themselves to prayer. How devoted are we to prayer? What is prayer? One of my concerns is that we complicate prayer and make it into something that it's not. Prayer is simply spending time with God. It's simply talking with God. It's simply listening to God. I'll kind of let you in on my prayer life a little bit, or as others have said, my life of prayer. I worship Jesus. I give him praise. I make sure to do that before I start bringing my requests. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have an emergency need right here, right now, and then you don't go by the proper steps. No, it's you bring your request. If it's something right now, then you bring it right now. But the habit, the pattern is, Lord, I'm coming before you. Hallowed be your name. Lord, I give you honor and I give you praise. And this guy raises his hands. Okay? Just the way I do things. You don't have to do it that way. But you'll feel better about it. You're more free that way. Woo! Praise the Lord, okay? They devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer is the key. And we're going to turn now to Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. This verse spoke to me, I think it was about 5 days ago. This verse just stuck out and started stirring my spirit within. So what just happened probably is no accident at all. You know what I'm saying? Because God had begun doing something in me. He's been doing something in me for a long time now. But there was just another stirring. And I pray that you're stirred as well. And it's likely that the Holy Spirit is stirring you in ways that are different than the ways that he's stirring me. But it's also possible that even though the ways are different, they all overlap. And I kind of need to give you a little bit of background as to where Peter's at right here in verse 15 of chapter 11. If you look at the previous chapter, chapter 10, this is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. And again, as many of you know, I don't like to call them stories because they are actual accounts. These things happen. They're not just a story that somebody made up and tells over and over. So this actually happened, but it's really cool because Peter, the leader of the church, the leader of the early church, he was not at home. He was at someone else's home, and he went as they were devoted to prayer. He went up on the roof to spend some time with the Lord. He spent some time with Jesus in prayer. And as he was doing that, God showed him a vision. And in this vision, God showed him some things. And basically what God was wanting to show him through the vision was that, hey, you're the leader of my church right now. And I want you to go and tell some Gentiles about me. Okay? And so in reality, Peter wasn't the one that was going to eventually reach many Gentiles. It was Paul primarily. He is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is someone other than a Jew, other than someone of the Jewish descent. And so God was trying to show Peter through this vision and that he wanted to reach out and include the Gentiles in the gospel, in the good news about Jesus. He wanted that message to fall to them as well and to expand. And so the Holy Spirit also told Peter, hey, there's two of these men that are coming. I don't want you to hesitate, but I want you to go with them. You're going to tell them about me. Now, the interesting thing is that already, see, Peter was headed to Cornelius' house. He was a Roman soldier. The interesting thing to me is that an angel already appeared to Cornelius earlier to tell him to send for Peter. The angel gave address and everything, whose house Peter was staying at. And so Peter, these guys say, hey, let's go with me. So Peter goes without hesitation, like the Lord said. And when he gets there, he begins to tell them about Jesus. And then, so that leads us right up to verse 15 here of chapter 11. As I began to speak, Peter continued, as I was continuing to tell them about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Okay, so he's going back to the account in Acts chapter 2, where on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled those people in that room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Peter says, that same thing happened, guys. It was great. But the words, the Holy Spirit fell, is what starts stirring my spirit up. And I'll be honest with you, I wrestled with this message. I wrestled with it two different times, like, okay, I know that one's not good enough, so I tried again. But there's something to it, okay? There's something to it, and it's even difficult for me to communicate in words. Peter goes on to say in verse 15, the next verse, as I began to... I don't know what's going on with my computer here, I'm sorry. In verse 16, then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you look back, John the Baptist said, hey, I baptize you with water in the Jordan, but there's one coming after me. I'm not even unworthy. I'm not even worthy enough to untie this guy's shoes. But he's going to baptize you with fire. Now, fire purifies. And when I think of fire, I not only think of purification, I think of zeal and passion and an excitement. Are you excited about the Lord? Are you excited about who he is and what he's done for you? We sang about it a while ago. Are you excited about him? And so I wanted to, in my mind, I was also thinking about Moses in the Old Testament, and how he would go to God had instructed him and others to build what was called the tabernacle. God instructed them to build a tabernacle. Man, that thing had to be just a certain way. It had there all the details were given, and they were supposed to build that a specific way. And then when Moses would go into the tabernacle, it'd be kind of like the church, I guess. But when Moses would go into the tabernacle to spend time in, he'd go to spend time with the Lord. He'd go to spend time with the Lord, and the Lord would give him more instructions, and the Lord would encourage him, and he would come out of that tabernacle, and it says that he had to have a veil over his face because it would literally shine. There's something really exciting about that to me. And you know what I think? I'm going to take you to a few verses, and those verses show us that Paul said, this new way is way better than that old way. But what I think, I don't know that Jesus is really interested in making our faces glow like a light, but we are certainly called to be different. I think that's what the comparison is supposed to be, that people can tell that we're different, that people can tell that we're changed, that people can tell that, and I'm reminded again as Peter and John were under question with the authorities because they had healed this guy, this crippled man. And they tried to shut him up, say, hey, okay, you can go, but don't talk about this Jesus fellow anymore. Peter and John, who do you think we're going to obey, you or God? And that's a no-brainer. We have to follow the Lord. And we're called to be filled with his Spirit. We're called to shine. Jesus said that several times. It's recorded several times in the Gospels that we are called to be his light in a dark world, okay? And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, the old way, that was the way of the law under Moses. Moses was given the law. The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God. What if we shone with the glory of God? Those two disciples, the apostles, Peter and John, when they were arrested and called into question, those leaders who questioned them said, well, we can see that they've been with Jesus. Now, it may have been a derogatory term then, like mocking them. But man, I want people to know that I've been with Jesus. I want people to know. I want them to be able to tell, like, something's different with that guy. Something's different with her. Something, there's something about you that's different, and I want it. Do you know what I'm saying? That can create such a hunger in somebody else's heart by you and me saying, okay, Lord, I want everything that you've got for me. I want to do things your way. Okay, God, I want to honor you in every area of my life. And then he can use us. And then when we choose to be used and we choose to yield and we honor him with our lives, he can use us to create a hunger in other people. For Moses' face shone with the glory of God. And even though the brightness was already fading away. Verse 8, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? Yeah. See, in Moses' day, the Holy Spirit wasn't doing the same things as he was doing under the new covenant. When Jesus instituted the new covenant at the Last Supper. Before he was arrested, before he was crucified. And now the Holy Spirit is giving life. How much greater glory should there be now when we're under the new way of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Instead, those disciples, we later called them apostles, those guys lived with Jesus day after day. And it came to a point where Jesus had to say, hey, I got to leave. I have to go. And you can imagine being a disciple. What? No, this is going to be awful. Right? And that makes sense. But Jesus, they didn't understand at the time. Jesus said, unless I leave, I cannot send you the Holy Spirit. It is good for you if I will leave. Because I can send you the Holy Spirit. Because you guys aren't going to always stay in this holy huddle. You're going to have to get out of here. And I can't be with all of you wherever you go, everywhere that I'm calling you to go. You hear me? The Holy Spirit wants to be with each and every one of us wherever we are at the same time. It's incredible. It really is beneficial. And so why wouldn't it be more glorious? Verse 9, if the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? The new way through Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Not just a sacrificial system of sacrificing bulls and goats and birds, but the sacrifice of one, Jesus Christ, for the redemption of our sins. Hallelujah. God is great. Verse 10, in fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. And I think, again, it comes back to life change. It comes back to the difference that Jesus makes in a life. So let your light shine. Let your light shine. We can't shine if we don't know Jesus. We can't shine if we don't ever spend time with him. But when we'll spend time with him and we'll catch what he's sending, then we'll shine brightly. And that's our challenge today, is that we shine brightly for Christ and that we are, let me say it, filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, so if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, God is great. I'm going to share one more scripture with you. Later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, here it says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Kind of here Paul was talking about that veil, the veil of the law covering and blocking the minds of people to the gospel. But when the veil is taken away, when the veil is removed, in verse 17, the word of God says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom to your life. And there's a stirring. There's a stirring. You know, Jesus healed a man. And that man was by what was called the Pool of Siloam. And it was said that there was an angel that would stir the water. And when the water was stirred, whoever got in was healed. And this guy was waiting to be healed, but he wasn't fast enough to get there. He'd been waiting there a long, long time. And Jesus goes over and begins a conversation with him, and he realizes what his physical need was, and so he healed the guy. But the challenge this morning is the waters have been stirred. The waters have been stirred, not by an angel, but by the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is God, ladies and gentlemen. That's not blasphemy. Study it. Look it up. The Holy Spirit is God. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, not some weirdo it. He's not an it. He's a person. The Holy Spirit loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants you to be free. See, where he is, there's freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. And there's a stirring in our spirit. There's a stirring in our soul because he wants us to be free. He wants us to be whole. And he wants us to be, I think, victorious. There are times when we don't feel so victorious, I know. But that's one of the things that keeps bringing us back to Jesus. If you don't ever lose anything, or things aren't tough, then pride enters in, and we're like, okay, I got this. You don't got this. Jesus has got this. But we don't. What we can have is Jesus. Okay, you guys following me? Will you bow your hearts with me? I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom to your heart, to your life. And if you're here this morning and by an uplifted hand you'd say, Pastor, yeah, the Holy Spirit is stirring in my heart too.